We had some big news drop yesterday.
Big news drop. I don't think that it came as any surprise, though, really.
That sound
did not
bite.
Come
That's
as a little surprise. Bit... However, I want to give Dusty some credit here because you were very early in saying that this was the way to go for Kyler, the NFL. And I remember, I want to say like mid-October, we were debating this, and you know, I was thinking of the health concerns. I didn't know if he was going to be a high first-round pick necessarily at that point. And, you know, I kept sort of advocating the baseball side of it. But clearly you were right at the time, and you're right now. And this is the right move for Kyler Murray. You know, he has a chance to be a star in the NFL. Would it completely stun anybody if he becomes the number one overall pick? You know, by the way, his agent, Eric Burdhart, is Cliff Kingsbury's agent, who's the new coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who have the number one overall pick. But he's going to be the number one pick, the number six pick to the Giants, number 13 to the Dolphins. The Redskins are at 15. I mean, a lot of teams need quarterbacks, and I think Kyler Murray is going to be no worse than number two off the board. He's going to make a ton of money, and instead of riding buses in the minor leagues for 3 years, at the end of which he might not have any success at the major league level anyway because he's so far behind in his development as a baseball player. You know, he's going to be starting next year in the NFL. Could be a starting quarterback like Baker Mayfield by the end of the season, and would not stun me if he is very electric on the field in the NFL as well.
Well, unless he goes to a team with Hugh Jackson, then he should be okay. that soundbite though from Adam Schefter to me is it's bull. I mean, I think he signed a baseball contract because it was there. But I think he's always been committed to football. I wouldn't worry about his commitment to football if I'm an NFL franchise. Now,
not
if
at
it
this
doesn't
point.
Work out,
no.
I mean, he's going to go back. Maybe he goes back and plays baseball at some point in time. But if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out for the franchise either. But I think this kid, the reason that it took him so long to say that he wasn't going to go play baseball wasn't because I think he got up every day and he was torn. It was just because the A's had put a lot of faith into him and a lot of stock into to drafting him that high. And it was tough for him to say, no, I'm not coming.
And part of it was he didn't know. When he was drafted in baseball, I mean, who's going to turn down, you know, $5 million? He didn't know what the football season was going to hold. You know, he struggled at A&M. You know, nobody knew he was going to be a first-round draft pick at that point, at least definitively, in the summer. And so you got to take what's in front of you. And that was an opportunity to be the ninth overall pick, to sign a baseball contract and move forward with a baseball career. But I agree with you, Mark. Clearly his first love has always been football. And I don't think that anybody who drafts him should worry that he might flirt with baseball. He is committed to football. Now, if he struggles, if he's like Johnny Manziel and it just doesn't work for him, he can always go play baseball. But I think initially he's going to be 100% dedicated to becoming a star quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I totally agree. We've kind of said that we don't see him getting past 10. What do you – I mean, obviously we're all just guessing here, Jake, but do you think he gets past 10?
So you got Arizona. Let's go through the teams. You got Arizona at 1. You have the Giants at 6. Anybody in between?
Oakland. I think Oakland at 4 is at least based off what people are out there saying, and even someone I talked to this morning seems to think that there's a real interest from John Gruden for Kyler Murray.
Can you imagine if you're a fan of the Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders and they draft Kyler Murray and then he moves to Las Vegas, like you will have lost him twice, essentially?
That's
so you got the Raiders at 4, the Giants at 6, anybody between the Giants. You know, I saw the Detroit Lions might be interested in taking a quarterback today. I saw that report out there. And they're drafting in the top 10 as well. I think 8th or something.
Oh, I think 7. You've missed the Jacksonville Jaguars at 7. Definitely need a quarterback. And I would be very surprised if Kyler Murray's on the board at 7 if they wouldn't take him there.
Yeah, Bortles has been a complete disappointment. You know what? I need to get, like, I don't have, like, the draft order.
I got it right here. It's Arizona at 1. We're saying that's a possibility. San Fran at 2 is not. Jets at 3 is not.
Nope.
Oakland at 4, I say is.
What about Tampa Bay?
No,
Tampa's
not.
At 5. I'm going to say
yeah,
no.
Yeah, they can't take a quarterback, right? I mean,
Gabe Jameis the extra year. You know, they have that opt-in, the team option. They picked that option up. They're going to pay him $20 million next year. I think New York Giants at six, yes.
I think they got to be thinking
quarterback, whether it's Haskins or Murray.
Yep,
seven, absolutely. I'd say the same for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they need a quarterback. I would say then it goes eight, Detroit. You said I would say no for Detroit, but I don't know. Nine, the Bills. They just took a quarterback last year. I would say no. Denver at 10, I would say yes.
Yes. So I saw there was a line that came out of Vegas today that set
That's
the over-under.
Five teams
under,
in the top 10, by the way, that we just said yes to.
They set the over-under of where Kyler will go at 9.5, so the 9th-and-a-half pick. Would you guys take the over or the under on that?
I'm going to say under.
I take the under because I think the question here is there a quarterback that would go ahead of him other than Haskins? He may go ahead of Haskins. But for a quarterback to be drafted, there's going to be two quarterbacks. There's too many teams that need quarterbacks not to draft two quarterbacks in the top 10.
It's a terrible quarterback draft, by the way.
Yeah, because there's a wide margin between those two and Daniel Jones, Will Greer, and Drew Locke, because that's your next three. And I think there's a pretty big gap between the top two and the rest.
Yeah, and those guys might not be first-round picks.
Correct.
You know, usually teams will talk themselves into quarterbacks, so we always say there's only going to be one or two, and then it'll be in three or four. But it's not like last year where you had Baker, you had Rosen, you had Darnold, you had Josh Allen. I mean, there were four basically potential top 10 quarterbacks. That isn't the case this year. There are only two, and I don't think there's going to be a third that talks his way into the top 10 through the combine. So, and then even if you go past Denver, I mean, you've got the Dolphins at 13. I assume the Bengals are not going to draft the quarterback. I mean, they do have Andy Dalton. And the Redskins at 15. So I would say I would be stunned if he falls below 15. You guys agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, at this point, I don't even say it gets past 10, but yes. And what I would say, I think the Redskins and Dolphins are players. I just don't think they're players at 13 and 15. I think that don't be surprised if we see somebody move up.
Right, and so if you're Kyler Murray, that's what you're waiting to kind of shake out before you made this declaration. Like, he was always going to play football, but he had a card to play, and he wasn't going to play too soon. You know, he wanted to make sure that this was, you know, he's got an agent now. His agent's talking to teams. Yeah, you know, we're interested in Kyler here, there, and the other. So I think he has a pretty good sense that I'm going to go. You know, like you guys said, probably in the top 10, no worse than 15. And in that case, it just makes too much sense for him to roll the dice with football instead of, again, going to Beloit and, playing minor league baseball.
What did you think of Josh Henson leaving for Texas A&M?
Well, not surprising. You know, he obviously wanted the offensive coordinator job at Oklahoma State. They went a different direction. He had an opportunity to I assume he's going to make good money at Texas A&M. You don't want to lose a guy like that. But I thought Gundy made a pretty shrewd replacement hire in getting Dickey from Kansas State. You know, last year was kind of an exception to some degree, but, you know, Kansas State has had pretty good offensive lines year in, year out. That was Bill Snyder's, you know, offensive line coach for a long time. So, I think it's hard to make hires in February, and I thought he did a pretty good job filling that position quickly. And, I mean, listen, you know, I think Henson has recruited well, but it's pretty evident the offensive line really hasn't gotten any better, right, the last couple of years. You know, part of that is talent, but they're about the same where they've been, which is kind of mediocre. And, you know, you don't want to have a fifth offensive line coach in 7 years, but I think – they brought in a guy that has a pretty good reputation of developing and putting together above average to really good offensive lines.
Technically sound, tough, physical. When I've watched Kansas State's tape last several years, that's what I see. I really like the hire of Charlie Dickey.
Yep.
We had asked you last week about Texas at that point. I do not think we've talked to you since Pichelle went to SMU. What did you think of that move? And I'm just kind of wondering, maybe, you know, with Sam Ehlinger and the amount of hits he's taken the last couple of years, if there is a question mark at backup, does that change at all the way Tom Herman calls plays and the amount of physicality that's the toll that maybe be taken upon Sam?
Well, Shane Bichelle was waiting to see if anything else popped up. Nothing did. You know, Texas quarterbacks have gone to SMU before. you know, a la Garrett Gilbert and a Dunwell. You know, they have an obvious void there with Ben Hicks going to Arkansas. So it makes a lot of sense for Bushell, and I think he'll do well there. I mean, he was in terms of backup quarterbacks across college football last year, you know, he was up there. And so I think he's very capable, and, you know, he's not a superstar or anything. But in that conference, I think he'll put up some big numbers because he can throw the deep ball very well. You look at Texas and Ellinger, and Tom Herman has always wanted to run the quarterback, but they've had to do it more because they've had no running game otherwise whatsoever. And it's imperative that Texas, and it starts with the offensive line, but they've got to be more dynamic at running back. You know, they just haven't been very dynamic at running back since they had Deontay Foreman and won the Doak Walker in 2016. So, you know, Herman is throwing out the idea of taking a grad transfer running back again. I don't know if that's the answer. You know, Keontae Ingram was their superstar freshman recruit. You know, was kind of up and down and, you know, had some moments, but I'm not sold that he's their running back in the future either. They've got to get a supplemental running game other than Ellinger taking hits. And listen, he can control football games doing that. We saw in the Red River Showdown that, you know, he can be very difficult to deal with because he moves the chains running the ball. But you do not want that guy, especially now with backup questions, you know, taking 30 hits a game. So they've got to get some other running game to take the pressure off them. It doesn't have to be, you know, they don't need a 1,500-yard running back, but they need somebody who you have to respect, and they just have not had that guy since Tom Herman has been there. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't see any obvious answers. They have a lot of options. But they've got to figure out the running game. It's not been good.
Are you going to cover any basketball? Going to be going to Tulsa again?
I'm going to Tulsa for the NCAA regional. We're not going to have any NCAA tournament from the state of Oklahoma, I don't believe. You know, I really haven't done any Kansas stuff. We've had some other people do that, and, you know, quite frankly, they haven't been that good. So I have not gotten any basketball assignments, and so again, just kind of waiting for spring ball to crank up. We're going to have the, you know, OU's Pro Day March 13th. I'm sure will be fascinating. The combine coming up here in a few days will be fascinating with Kyler now that he's definitely going to be there. And, you know, Oklahoma State with Spencer Sanders is going to be fascinating. And then OU with Jalen Hurts. So we're going to have a ton of college football and college sports storylines in the state of Oklahoma once things start cranking back up again.
Don't forget about Alex Grinch and that new-look defense. I think that'll be as anticipated to get a look at for fans around here as Jalen.
What are you going to look for in the spring? I mean, like, it's always hard to tell. You know, we thought, you know, for example, Buki was going to be a superstar. Okay. But it was more on based on what we heard than what we saw. I always think it's hard with defense in the spring kind of evaluating. What are you going to be looking for?
Let me chime in before Dusty go. We'll ratchet up the opinion here. I think that it's got to be pass rush, right? They had none of it last year. They're going to have somebody that can do it this year?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. It's like with Texas in the running game. You tell me.
I mean, you know, there's only so much you can really take from the spring game. But what do I want to see? I want to see guys getting up the field, penetrating, creating disruption. I want to see, like Mark said, pressure on the quarterback. Because disruption, pressure, that's a good indicator of getting takeaways. You know, I don't know how much pressure stuff we'll see. Alex Grinch likes to bring a lot of pressure in a spring game setting. Will we see him utilize all that? I don't know. But I just want to see guys playing on the other side of the football, because I don't think we've seen a whole lot of that. And obviously, as much as Aledum tackling, I think the tackling has been atrocious for.
It has. I want to see them make some plays, and they started to do that late in the year. Remember West Virginia, the strip and scores, the safety on the cornerback blitz against Texas. Up until that point, like, it didn't seem like the defense was just making any plays. And if you are going to be a defensive coordinator or defense playing alongside as a, you know, complementing an air raid offense that's going to put up a ton of points, you have got to force some turnovers and make some plays. So I'd like to see them, you know, make some plays in scrimmage situations. I think that would be a good sign for the fall.
I also think just overall how the secondary plays. You know, are they what do they look like? Fundamentally, are they better? Are they in better position? Kind of like you say, Jake, are they making plays on the ball? Because that's, you know, been another area where it's been few and far between with consistent play, making plays on the football. So I think there'll be a lot to look for in that regard, to say the least. Real quickly on OSU, you said Spencer Sanders. Is it? Do you feel 100% that he's going to be the guy, or does Drew Brown have a chance to win that job?
No, I don't think it's 100%. I mean, I think they want him to win the job. And, you know, I think he's got a lot of talent. You know, for him, it's going to be mental. You know, the intangibles, putting all of that together, that was something that they wanted to see more of. You know, when he first arrived, you know, in terms of throwing a spiral, I mean, he can do that about as well as anybody they've had there in a while. You know, he's got some athleticism as well. So, being a leader, and making good decisions and reading defenses and making the right calls, are they going to be key for him? But, you know, Drew Brown, I think, has, you know, shown that he can quarterback an FBS, you know, caliber offense. And if Spencer Sanders, for whatever reason, doesn't develop enough, then I think they'll go to Drew Brown. But to me, if Oklahoma State is going to realize its potential next year, and I think they've got a lot of upside with the offensive playmakers that they're going to be bringing back, for them to realize their potential, I think Spencer Sanders has got to be the guy. I think it's going to be like this past season if it's Drew Brown, where they're just going to be a little bit limited. You know, Sanders has the potential to be a difference maker in a way that Taylor Cornelius or Drew Brown, you know, were not.
Very good stuff. Get out of here.